Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid. Live from Bar Dunk in Racine, Wisconsin, it's the podcast that's gone rogue. It's Guys, Gays, and Bear!
Yeah!
Strong one for the roguelikes. Speaking of roguelikes, we got some roguelike beer. Actually, rogue beer. Why don't you tell us about it, Larry?
Well, this beer, subtitle, Dead Guy Ale, is gratefully dedicated to the rogue in each of us. Dead Guy Ale image depicts a skeleton with a beehive in honor of Maya Day of the Dead. All right. All right. Good picture up over there. All right. So let's give this. Now, wait a minute. Normally we do Wisconsin exclusive brands.
Right.
This is not a Wisconsin exclusive brand.
So you guys out there in Texas, drink up.
So this is a national brand. So
Oregon
you might be able to find.
It's out of Oregon?
Oregon, yes. Right. So you figure it hit Wisconsin, so...
Okay, so what type of beer is this?
Well, I assume it's an ale.
It's an ale.
It's an ale. But what? Okay, well, let's find out. All right, let's try it, gentlemen. What
do
we got? Ooh.
Bitter,
get
a little sweet.
Yeah.
Well, this reminds me of the...
So far away voices say bitter and a little sweet.
This reminds me of the old days. This reminds me of the early 90s.
Bitter and sweet?
When all beers tasted like this.
All craft beers tasted like this.
That's not a bad thing.
No, because these are the easiest ones to start brewing were the ales. Mm. It's pretty much a classic ale.
So not Zima?
It is not Zima.
Okay.
Side point, Zima is awesome.
Sidebar.
All right, gentlemen, what do we think?
I wouldn't say it's great, but I'd give it mostly thumbs up.
I'm going to go right down the middle of the road. I would say it's a really average ale.
Brought me back in time. I like it.
I'm going out.
I could drink it all the time, so session.
Okay.
Session
I
beer.
Give it session thumbs up.
Tyler?
It's a thumbs up. Are you blind?
That's for our audio people. You know, they don't all view it.
You could walk out so that people can actually see you on the
camera.
You know,
there's room out here. Yeah. It's the bright lights. Yeah,
but the bar's over here.
I know.
Yeah. There's a rock.
But I'm still going to go.
One of these days, we will shoot from the other direction.
So
you'll see.
You weren't there.
See.
Yeah. But again, so. I'm just saying it's an average ale. Not bad, but an average ale. So, but overall... Four thumbs up, two.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it gets it. Yeah.
Facebook challenge. Since this is a national brand, go out, get yourself some, and let us know what you think.
Rogue also makes ridiculous beer flavors. They did the Voodoo Donuts one as like a temporary one. Yeah, and they did like Sriracha.
Wow.
Okay, the Voodoo Donut.
Voodoo and Sriracha.
Awesome.
That was one of the first beers I bought with it. It was sweet, but it was good. It was good.
Okay, so those of you who don't know, out in Washington State, in Portland, in Oregon.
There is where the dream of the 90s is alive.
Thank you. Ticket to Ride, where you get your geographical information.
It's called Voodoo Donuts, and they make the most amazing donuts and the most amazing flavors. So.
What's that? Nothing.
Locals may say no. I enjoyed them immensely.
Angry locals say no.
Huh? Yeah, well, that's because they're locals. They're all too fucking hip for Voodoo Donuts.
Something comes to pop it up, it sucks now.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. All right, so all right. Rob, besides rogue beer, why the hell are we drinking rogue beer tonight?
Well, we're talking about roguelikes, and this came about because of the massive advertising power of Guys, Kids, and Beer. Oh, God. Sorry.
All
right, so Bloomsbury...
We're famous and stuff.
It started actually with a couple of products that were sent our way by various advertisers. But one of them was Bloomsbury Publishing, who sent us Empire of Imagination by Michael Whitwer. And this is a book about Gary Gygax. And this is actually a really good book. I'm only about a quarter of the way through it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so wait a minute. It's a book about Gary Gygax. Who is Gary Gygax?
Well, Rob? He is the creator of D&D and the guy who lost TSR.
What's D&D, Rob?
Ouch! Oh. Ouch! Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. He's dead. Why would you
I'm sorry.
Stick it to him while he's dead?
He just turned over in his grave about that.
He really did just kind of rotate on that one.
Hey, Mel. Hey, Mel can go to Drunk Larry at Guys, Games, and Beer.
I believe the loss was on us.
I agree.
We did it.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Excuse me. We did not do it. Trust me.
Important note. Also
you
from Wisconsin.
All those magic cards.
Not a one. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not a one. Thank you.
He's also from Wisconsin.
Legend even more specifically.
That's right.
Yes.
And as much as I say that, he stole the game from a British game, Chainmail. Shh. Yes.
If it was any good, it would have been popular.
Yes.
We will talk about that in the D&D episode.
Okay, we can geek out on D&D all day long.
Yeah, so we're going to have to do that one. Yeah,
in fact, that's an episode coming up. Geeking out on D&D all day long.
Anyway, the book covers the life and time, starting with the childhood of Gary. It's really? Very interesting. It's really, I was not actually expecting it to be that great. I didn't know whether it would come up or not. We have a deal with advertisers where generally what we do is if we didn't really like your product that much, we don't mention it. By the way, if you're somebody that sent us your project and haven't heard about it, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It might come up in a future one. This one was sitting for quite a while before we brought it up. I started reading it, and I've been just stuck on this book.
Right.
I've just been, like, riveted. It does, like, every chapter starts with, like, a scene where a dungeon master is describing a scene and a player is doing something in the scene, and then they relate it to his life, and it makes it just so interesting. It's just well-written, very well-written.
Right. Cool. Yeah, I think that's a good
one. Yeah, I was going to say.
Dibs. Oh, fuck.
Dibs.
Oh, stop. Third
dibs.
No. Yes.
Sloppy fourths?
If you want to check it out.
I was going to say that seems to be nice use of blending, you know.
To have it relate to a game.
And if you want to check it out, you can check it out at Bloomsbury Publishing. That's bloomsburypublishing.com. Of course, we'll put a link up.
Can you buy it directly from them?
Not 100% sure. Okay. I didn't get that far into their side of things. I was busy reading the book.
Okay.
Oddly enough, I got caught into the book and couldn't get anywhere. So yeah, it's a really good book. So right. I'm going to recommend it. A couple of games actually, that I totally got stuck on, started this episode. One of them, Larry's been playing.
I have been. Bard's Gold has been really fun. It's... you know, it's kind of a quick hitter, because it's really hard, you're in and out of the game pretty quick.
What you're saying is you're not in and out, you're in and you die real quick, is what you're saying.
Right, you do die really quick.
It is a rogue light, ladies and gentlemen. Ben asked that I hold up a sign.
And what does that mean?
We'll discuss that in a bit.
So it's a rogue light game, not rogue light.
But I consider them all roguelikes. I hate the term. I'll get into that later.
I agree with you too.
But wait, I want to throw this side point in it. Bard's Gold is a fun, good game, but I would totally recommend, if you're going to play it,
take your blood pressure medication.
Well, no, there's a, it is a good joystick control game. And you should use the joystick.
Yeah. For the love of God.
See, yes. Wait. Now we know Larry's old because he said use your joystick.
That's our gamepad. Yeah.
I didn't want your gamepad.
You know, I wanted to say 360 controller, but then I thought, well, I suppose there could be others out there.
I tried it with the Nest 30 and it was okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So there are others out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's
had to reprogram the buttons though. That's a bitch.
Nobody's using them.
Right. Yeah. So,
now that one's going to be available on Steam very shortly here.
That one's already available. The other one is one that is in pre-release. It should be just about available. It comes out on the 17th. They've just released us to talk about it. That game is I Can't Escape Darkness by Fancy Fish Games. And that game we got a hold of because somebody just mentioned it. If you got a podcast, you get a lot of advertisers sending you stuff. And we don't really very seldom put stuff on our Facebook about it because we got a lot of stuff going on Facebook. So we're really too busy to advertise. But boy, that looked interesting then.
Ooh, and we drink a lot.
Yeah, we drink a lot.
Yeah, that's
perfect. And they sent us a copy of it for preview.
And you actually liked that so much, you did put that on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I did. I liked it enough that I put it on our Facebook page. I played the heck out of this game, and it is, it's more... It doesn't like to call itself a roguelike, but it's very roguelike, and that's what started this episode.
See,
I was asking myself...
So is it a roguelike light, no, or is it a roguelike?
I was trying to decide what it was.
I thought it was roguelike.
No, I'm going to point out...
I want to bang...
Wait, I want to point out a minute. That nowhere in their advertising or in their description do they use the term roguelite or roguelike in their descriptions. They do not necessarily consider it that. And I was having a hard time deciding how to describe it. And I thought, you know, this is really very roguelike because you do only have one life.
Right.
You generally can't save, although you can actually select an option so you can save. Oh, for God's sake, do that.
Wait. I feel like you gotta back up, okay? In case you haven't looked this up on Wikipedia yet, you know, I think we
need to... Dude, that's the whole body of what we're going
to
talk about in a
minute. Yeah, so
what is a roguelike?
Hold it! Don't blow your load yet!
What's rogue?
Hold back! Squeeze it a little bit. Slow your strokes.
Squeeze it out.
Slow your strokes down.
This is the preamble. We're getting there. So anyway,
you're horribly frustrating.
So that game's coming out by Fancy Fish Games, and that's another one that gets the seal of approval because it's... We've had a lot of good luck with people sending us games.
We've had a good run. Games lately.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of amazing games lately.
Hey, thank Travis for joining.
Hey, Travis.
Oh my God, where'd you come from? He was drinking at the bar. What do you mean, join us?
It's hard not to sit at the
visually.
Bar. You're just like gravitate.
I know. He's orbiting now.
Yes, I attract men.
All right, so let's talk about rogue and roguelites. Let's make Larry happy.
Okay. So let's start what is a rogue game.
What is Rogue? Well, Rogue's a role-playing game that is largely influenced by Dungeons & Dragons and 70s text game Colossal Cave and, of course, Talengard, which is one of Tom's favorite games of
all
time.
Okay, so pre-Rogue, but I hate to say this, it's a Rogue-like game, is Talengard, which is, like, again, which was based on D&D on the Deck 10. And then transfer it over. It's basically a dungeon crawler. And that's what the definition of a roguelike game is.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Really, what you're doing is you're going through some randomly generated dungeon, collecting up treasure, killing off monsters, and trying to survive with a single life. Your character doesn't get to come back.
So if I heard you right, the definition includes... Single life.
Yes. Wait, we'll get to that. But go ahead. No, go ahead. Continue.
Single life.
Rogue. We're going to break these down.
All right, we'll break these down.
But I'm on rogue.
But rogue itself had one life. We're talking about rogue.
Single life.
Randomly generated.
Procedural dungeons, what it's called. Continue.
You may or may not have to kill anything.
All right, look.
I don't know about that.
We're going to hold off. We're talking about rogue, Larry.
Okay, rogue.
We are talking about rogue.
You have to kill things in rogue.
Right, all right.
Rogue, you're going to go up against
monsters. You have to kill these in Rogue?
Oh, God,
Rogue was created in 1980, and it was created by Michael Toy and Ken Arnold and Glenn Whicham at the UC Santa Cruz. Right. And it was made originally for Unix. It was made for mainframes.
Did they like to toy around a bit?
That's the second time we've tormented a founder name.
It's a Unix-based game.
It is a Unix, originally a Unix. Yeah, it was moved off, of course.
Originally a Unix platform game.
It became wildly popular. It was very hard. It was all text-based.
But do you mention that Unix is great?
Yeah, Unix is great.
Now, wait a minute. But going on the Unix thing, who was the first one to release it with their release of Unix?
I don't know who released it.
Madison actually put it in their BSD Unix. So Madison actually...
That was BSD. Don't start... On the whole, is BSD a Unix? I know. Okay. Start this.
All right, no, we're not going to go down that road.
We're going to get down the hate road.
Yeah, that's a whole other rabbit hole. But
I'm not going to go whether or not one of the AIX, Linux, you know.
Sorry. So, yeah, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But one of the first ones to put it in the games directory of their Unix was the Madison release.
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, so it was developed by them for Unix. Note that it instantly became popular. Pretty much instantly, yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
In fact, the co-creator of the Unix system, Dennis Ritchie. Dennis Ritchie, isn't that a...
You're thinking Lionel Richie.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think you can't name
Anyway, he claimed that Rogue wasted more CPU time than anything in history. And then a bend note has been added that says, he noted also that porn is a productive asset for society.
Hashtag true facts.
Yes. G2B facts. Okay.
Porn good.
So... Rogue featured text-based graphics, but users played for the amazing depth of gameplay and ferocious, and I mean ferocious, difficulty level. Before long, games like Rogue started coming out, and those were called...
Roguelite?
Yay!
Roguelite!
I was really hoping you were going to get that right. I was worried.
I know. You were trying.
You were scared. Rob had the sign already, so you
I was ready.
Okay, who won the pool?
Like.
Woo!
Like. Hey, on the upside, I did not say Ike, which was originally
Rogue Ike. Made by that little kid from South Park.
Exactly.
You know, don't kick the baby!
I feel like if they were called Rogue Ike and Rogue It... It would probably be helpful.
Probably, but that's okay. They sound a lot alike. But
it would. All right. Roguelikes have several, but not always all of the following distinguishing features. Here we go, Larry. I know you've been waiting for this.
I want to know.
Whew. Permadeath. You only live once, and so does your character in Roguelike. No saves, no nothing. You can spend hours building up your character to have him or her die in an instant.
Well, I don't know about you guys. I'm immortal, so.
Well.
No, there was nothing worse. Okay, so Telengard, Rogue, those games, you'd oh my God, I'm level 30! I'm level 32! I'm level 35! I'm dead. What the fuck? What the fuck? I'm dead?
Like, in one shot, some guy. Yeah, oh,
like,
God.
No, it's like... One monster. It really was soul crushing. Thank you.
So are you saying basically most modern RPGs are basically the pussy version of Rogue?
Yes, they are.
Well, I mean,
so you get to save your character.
That's right, you had the right to erase it on the character sheet and give yourself hit points again.
Yeah, thank you.
Not to start going into the whole definition, but like Rogue Light games.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
But I'm just saying, like, the other stuff, when you think about it.
Think about that. If you were playing a D&D game, would your dungeon master allow you to erase and say, oh, wait a minute, no, I have more hit points?
Hell no, because I started on a guy who was, I think, older than you. But so he did not let us do that.
Thank you.
And... new games have hardcore mode, where it's the exact same thing where you die and you're done.
That is a nod to the roguelike.
Correct. Sucks. But that's new games, and that's...
Diablo 2 had it.
That's what I brought up.
Diablo 2 had it. Diablo 2 had hardcore mode.
Yeah, but okay, wait.
Diablo 3 has it as well.
Diablo qualifies as a roguelike game because it had that feature.
It didn't have enough. We're gonna get into that, and I'll say my piece.
You know what? I'm gonna go with the save game idea. You know what? I think there's a difference between, and I suppose once you have a save game, it's always true, unless the programmer is super clever. There is a save game of I gotta go to work, and. Just rather than leave the computer on.
That's a saved game is not the same as a right. Thank you. As a backup point, when your character dies, you can't go back.
Power outage. Boom.
No, the whole thing is when you.
Well, roguelikes generally you do die there. But
exactly it. Yeah,
no, was that just a function of the in the ability of the machines at the time.
No, they wanted it to be a bastard. They wanted it to be like D&D.
Thank you. It was to be
D&D.
Right, they're D&D games.
Yeah,
based
but
on
D&D doesn't count. I gotta go to work.
Yeah, it does, actually. In D&D,
because when I played D&D, I went to work. We had like 2-hour sessions, 5-hour sessions. And I went to work and we came back. My character had...
The thing with save games is when you save a game, the game saves.
No, I'm just saying... that pen and paper, we saved games.
All right, what the hell were we talking about?
We were talking about Rogue Life.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Okay. All right, so next. Randomized dungeon or map. All that dying would get kind of boring. Tom talked about this. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you did.
I did.
You did, yeah. if you had to crawl through the same dungeon all the time. So randomized dungeons ensure that you never have to die in the same place
so
twice.
So if you had a permanent death, nice. And you've already gone through levels 1 through 20...
It would get really boring.
And you had to go through level 1 through 20 again to get to 21. It would really suck to have to do the exact same level. But if they changed it slightly, you know, with monsters being in a slightly different location, different that kind of thing, traps. Different right. monster traps, that kind of thing, it wouldn't be so intolerable.
Now, did Rogue have quests or just levels?
Just levels.
So we're it had a centralized quest. Now, roguelikes occasionally do have side quests, but it generally had one thing you had to do, sort of our goal. You claimed a sword and tried to get out of the dungeon with it. Yes. You tried to go into Tom's
Armor.
Dungeon. Yes.
Armor.
Okay, so next, this is another one that's variable. The effects of potions and other items vary greatly from game to game. What that means is, like in Shattered Planet, which is a modern roguelike, a red potion that killed you in one playthrough might heal you in the next. That sucks, but it makes the game harder, and I've done that. Shit. That on Shattered Planet, yeah, I've done it.
Was there a way to circumvent that at all?
Alchemist? No, such luck.
It was no red potion.
No, you just learned. You get sick off of this round. You better not do
it
anymore.
Because it's like if you were in real life or anything, yeah, guess what would happen? You'd have to sit there and go like, do I want to take this? Do I not? Should I? Should I not?
Exactly. And this goes on to like magical items
everything
as well.
That is an homage. Everything you did in D&D was roll that up. Yeah, it worked.
Yeah,
damn it didn't.
That's true.
It's very true.
The very same thing happened in my Pathfinder campaign that I'm playing is I was fighting and this guy had a potion that was dead I was like, oh god, take it. Yes, it did nothing. Damn it.
Exactly.
No, my DM specifically said, you feel like if you would have been cursed that it would have been helpful.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Wow, that sounds like an epic fail. But
I feel that way about a lot of things I drink.
Yeah.
I'm cursed.
That, well, let's not do that.
Just wait, that's a red potion.
Damn.
What does that mean? I don't know. Drink it.
We'll find out.
Poison.
Isn't it gin and Mountain
Dew? Oh, Aqua Boner.
Because I'm still
next.
One of those shows up.
Minimal storyline. Generally, there's little to no storyline other than a brief description of what the goal is at the beginning and a tiny bit of backstory. So, hey, you got to get a sword.
Yeah.
Go down there, get it.
Go find it.
All right, usually it's a little longer than that, but not much.
At least an upgrade from your rusty or wooden sword.
Sword in the stone, dude.
Yes. Exactly. Because you usually start out with a rock or something stupid.
No,
it's a roguelike. Okay, they are
practice sword.
Yeah. They are generally turn-based. You adventure through the dungeon or whatever one step at a time. In other words, combat is done in a you attack, then they attack fashion. That is a generalization again. All these things are generals. Some of these things get thrown out sometimes.
So the turn-based, like Final Fantasy, that kind of thing, is in some levels is more of an homage.
Yes. Now, historically, different groups have added and subtracted from these features so that they can claim that their favorite game or type of roguelike is the only true roguelike. This is a bit like claiming that your Mikey shoes are the only true Nike-like on the internet. Sorry, I'm okay now.
All right.
Okay, so let's talk about
terrible.
It. Let's talk about the roguelite. The roguelite.
Light.
Light. Thank you.
Roguelite.
No, oh, those are my balls.
The roguelite, or the roguelike, is a fairly recent phenomenon.
Like.
From the early to mid-2000s.
Like.
All right. Where roguelike wanders a bit further from the classical definition. Examples of this are Spelunky, or the one we talked about earlier, Bard's Gold. Which are side-scrolling platform roguelikes. And Delver, which is a first-person roguelike, which you might have heard of before on the show, too.
Where's Diablo fit in?
Who the hell with Diablo? The term is most often used by douches who don't want the term roguelike to be defiled by an expansion of the game type.
Yes, feminine hygiene products.
play video games.
That said, it is a useful way to separate turn-based roguelikes from the more looser interpretation, so it is useful for that. Unfortunately, it's just generally used by douches.
Get my seat next to Rob.
Hey.
Okay, now, on to Rob's personal statements.
All right, make your personal statement.
And then after this, I've got a top 10.
Hashtag Rob's rant.
Yep. The best roguelike ever made was the remake of Sword of Fargol. It combines the simplicity of use of a modern game with the deep and satisfying game engine of a classical roguelike.
You can go.
It also looks dead sexy, Ben. Dead sexy.
Unlike you.
Ouch.
By the way, if you want to be a roguelike snob, then you better be playing that damn game in ASCII. Now get the hell off my lawn. Okay, that's the end of that commentary. That's right, just like that.
Just like that, man. ASCII.
Oh, by the way, just as a side note, the weirdest roguelike is Doom Roguelike, or Doom RL. By the way, you would love this game. You guys would love this game.
It's free, right?
It's free. It turns the world of Doom into a turn-based, nearly impossible to survive, awesome roguelike. It's also free, so there's no reason not to get it.
Go
pick that up. It is actually really good. I played the hell out of that. And it's available on pretty much every platform, guys. So if you got a Mac, you can play it too. Yay. Okay, so here we go. The list, because I always have to have a list. It is completely meaningless. I'm going to say that ahead of time. This is the top 10 rated Steam games tagged as roguelike by percentage of popularity. In other words, by the best ranking, like if you got a 98% positive. And I'm gonna fix some of that. I want to note something. Somebody marked Pac-Man DX as a roguelike. It's not in here. I threw out, number one, expansion packs. And number two, I threw out anything that was so amazingly stupid like Pac-Man, although fortunately I didn't have to get to that point.
Technically, I would put it there. I would put it there.
See?
I would put it there.
You put it there.
So basically you're saying Ben's an idiot.
Baby
pretty much.
Baby Crockett was a man.
All right, let's start with number 10. Risk of Rain, 95% out of 14,807 votes. I played it a couple times. I didn't really care for it that much.
Game? What system was that on?
That's these are all Steam.
All Steam. Okay.
Yeah, so they're all
PC.
As a general rule, PC, Mac, and Linux. As a general rule for these, because roguelikes tend to come out cross-platform.
Yes.
Because, damn it, they're from Unix.
It's simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Sanctuary RPG, which I talk to them every once in a while. I've never played their game. I'm going to have to check it out. Sanctuary RPG Black Edition, 97% with 610 votes.
Damn.
Number 8, Binding of Isaac Rebirth. Not a surprise there.
Yes.
Excellent like game. 97% with 23,010 votes. Yeah, that's pretty good. FTL, Fast and Light, which is a great game. That really expanded that particular market too. There's been other roguelikes in space, but this one, you were the ship. That is freaking awesome. And a crew. That was a really good game. 97% with 26,536 votes. Don't Starve. Yeah, baby. At number 6. 97%. 33,841 votes. Number 5. Secrets of Grindia or Grindia. 98% at 532 votes. Hated Have not played it. Have you tried it?
Yeah.
You didn't like
it? I hated it.
Yeah.
It must be good.
Dude,
it was too damn roguelike.
Here's something interesting. And this one I thought about whether I'd put it on or not. But you know what? What the hell? It's a great game. Super House of Dead Ninjas. Have you ever played this?
No.
Holy crap. It is a side-scrolling platformer that is hilarious and brutal.
How can there be a...
We've talked about this. This is a roguelike capability. We've talked about several.
Yeah.
It's fast action, and yes, it is murderous, and you do only get one life. So 98% of 823. I wouldn't argue too hard about that one being a roguelike, but I'll let it go. Wait, we're doing a countdown here. Number three is Crawl, 98%. I was calling off the numbers, you know. There was some context clues here, Larry. Of 926.
You can count forward to 10. Backwards is not as forte.
Number 2 will also not surprise
Shame
you.
Shame on my baseball. Nuclear Throw.
98% with 3,247 votes, which is a favorite of this group as well. Number 1, I think you mentioned this, Larry, or maybe you did, Travis. Crypt of the Necro Dancer. All right, it was Tyler.
Not maybe this one.
98%.
I mentioned it.
Not surprised. 98%. 98% positive. That's pretty impressive. 3,000. It's not even a low number. It's 3,697. Yeah, that's not a real low number.
To have that rating is amazing.
Yeah, so pretty good. Pretty good list. Okay. And that is.
Can I do an ad?
Sure.
I know, and I feel, and I've thought about this. Wait, let me see the list. Hold on.
Dungeons of Dreadmore just was cut off at the end of the list. It was number 11, just so you know, with also a high rating, which is a great, great roguelike.
Yes.
It's more classic.
First of all, didn't we review this one?
Yeah, we did.
All right, so Nuclear. So I just want to plug that. There is a review for that.
Nuclear.
You may not. I think he was pretty drunk during that review.
I know. But it was a good review. It was a good review.
Is it really that confusing that Larry was drunk? I mean, we can just assume, right?
Right. I guess
that's pretty fair.
But it was a good review. But that wasn't what I wanted to add to it. I don't feel like it comes to mind right away, but I feel like the way they developed this game, it was meant to be roguelike. Steel Battalions. Where it falls short is there's not a randomization, okay? And it's not like
except
turn-based.
Except with your drunk friends playing the game.
But what I will give it the credit for, it is her one life. And in fact, you can do the save game, here's where the clever part is. When you die, it erases your save game.
If you don't eject, and then you can also, when you're playing against your friends...
Well, that's survival. You haven't died then. But when you die, and maybe there's a workaround or something...
I don't get to run around as my human. My robot is dead. I am playing as my robot.
As the resident Steel Battalion expert, is definitely not. It's just a simulation game. It's a mech simulation game. If you eject, your save is fine.
Correct. There is also no randomness to the
level. I disagree.
Very
with you.
Little exploration.
You're playing as the person.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
you're playing
based,
as the person.
It's not,
right.
It has a lot of contradictory elements to a roguelike.
Right.
It is not a roguelike.
So
it is a mech simulation game. And I have played.
What happens if you don't eject in time?
I've played upwards of 100 hours.
What happens if you don't eject?
We lose your save, but there are other games that you die once and you're done.
Right.
Bit Trip Runner, like life.
It's a roguelike.
No, that's not.
All right.
It's an endless runner. It's an endless runner. Flappy Bird.
It's a roguelike. I'm not even defending.
All right.
It shares characteristics, but Steel Battalion is just a mech sim.
Parcheesi.
I think you've pretty much solidified that opinion.
Fair enough.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about the best roguelikes ever.
That was
freaking beautiful.
That was gold.
I love that part. I'm Retro Rob, and you're watching the Gutter Geeks at Guys Games and Beer. Where's my damn gin?
Shady's back.
And we're back. It's the podcast that'll reunite you with your tranny. It's Guys, Games, and Beer.
Yay! Second half.
Larry is drunk.
By now, you've had a delightful advertisement, and I hope you support.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we're going to talk about our favorite. Absolute favorite roguelikes. I have no idea.
We'll find out.
It'll probably be one of the guys saying something.
Yeah.
All right. So, favorite roguelikes.
I don't even know if we got past, like, what roguelike is.
Yes, we have.
All right, so. So, back in the day, about an hour ago, we established that rogue includes permanent death, randomized dungeons, killing shit, and that's about it.
Look, you can use any of the of those above,
so that
or several.
Gauntlet.
You know, Gauntlet arguably is a rogue spinoff.
Okay, so look behind you right now, Larry. What's all that arcade game behind you right now?
That is Gauntlet.
The original Gauntlet.
Yeah, and this is Gauntlet. There,
the buttons. I'll show you.
It has been.
There it is.
It has been argued that this actually is a descendant of the roguelike. And it probably is. Honestly, it has a lot of the same...
All right, I got the controller.
It has a lot of the same features. Such as permadeath unless you have a quarter. It doesn't have random dungeons, though.
No, the dungeons are not random on this. They are fixed dungeons on this.
It does, however, starve you to death, which is a feature of early rogues, where you had to eat to survive, which I didn't mention one of these earlier notes. But more than that, it was dead sexy and made by Atari.
Yeah, it is a dead sexy game. It really is. It pumped so many quarters into this thing.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Larry, why are you so bad at this game?
So, I'm not allowed in on a technical.
I have to go that it is a roguelike game. I mean, it really is.
I think we're stretching that, but I'm going to allow it just for awesomeness.
All right. So, Larry, you are right. Get the key. Larry, get the key now. Open that damn wall. You know you want to.
Open that wall, Larry.
Oh, no. Level 104.
You wimp.
Oh, you wimp.
I was 104.
Whoa. Okay. All right. So, Rob. What? Okay. Next. Actually, ask him.
Mine is Soul Tar and Clam Digger. Solitaire. I don't know. It's randomized. Technically roguelike.
We are getting so weak.
Yes.
That's, I don't know.
Clearly my definition was smackdown hard. So you got to come up with new shit.
What is your win ratio on Soul Tar? Because that game is not easy.
No, win ratio's got nothing to do with roguelike likeness.
The roguelike likeness.
Yeah. So, and it clearly it's whatever I said is not true. So you got to come up with something else.
Why did we have the dude who doesn't know the definition define what we're defining?
No.
Well, that's really how we roll, Ben.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Oh, for God's sake, let's just go to Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler, give us a real roguelike game.
Okay. Not compared to Rob and stuff, I haven't played it nearly as many roguelikes, but mine is Crypto Necrodancer. I thoroughly enjoyed this game. For those who haven't played, basically it's a roguelike, and it's set to beats. That's how you're able to move, is the beat of music. They have preset music that you can play each level on, which is really, really awesome, is you can import your own songs. It will analyze it and add beats to it that you can move on, and it's actually, even without the music, it's just a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a lot of fun. So,
in the future, we may be able to actually show that game, because it looks like the court has ruled that that music companies can't just rape your YouTube station. That's kind of nice. All right, Travis.
I am personally a big fan, and I think over the past couple of years, the biggest one I got sucked into is Darkest Dungeon. It's kind of like a gothic-themed roguelike, and it really incorporates a lot of the... Yeah, totally. Yeah. It incorporates a lot of the points that a roguelike has, and it does a really good job of it. It's a modern spin on it. They do a really good job of party management.
Do you have a comment, Larry?
No, I just want you to come more forward and enjoy it.
It's because you're so
damn animated. Okay, so, yeah, I know it has a lot of really, really good... got a lot of good points of classic roguelikes. It's new. It's very pretty. They do a good job of kind of like party management. You kind of have to manage your character's stats as well as kind of their sanity in the dungeon. It kind of has some adverse effects, and it does a really good job of being hard. But once you get the mechanics down of it, it's very rewarding to play. So I think they do a really, really good job, and it's one of my personal favorites I've been hooked on lately. I think that roguelikes have become so much more popular hand-in-hand with how survival games are. And people, a lot of those people latch onto the same types of communities, and they kind of trade back and forth for that. It's good replayability. It's a really good challenge for a lot of users. A lot of different games.
It's one game you can play for a long time and still get more options.
Exactly. It's a good bang for your buck. So I think that those two communities have really grown over the past like 5 years. I've been hooked on games like Dwarf Fortress, obviously, which is like...
I was amazed that nobody mentioned
that. Yeah. No, I had my family member, one of my cousins, Aaron, he like played it like 5 or 6 years ago, and he's like, oh man, you gotta try it. And I was like, it is impossibly hard, and like I really didn't have the patience for it. It's a lot. It's a game that you can play for forever, though. It's procedurally generated.
But also the weird and crazy shit people come up with for that game is
awesome. Yeah, so...
Just movies, videos... Music, everything there is for Dwarf Fortress. Yeah. That's an experience.
And I gotta tell you, it's this whole episode's been an education for me, because apparently the pussy-ass role-playing games I've been playing with game, save games and things like Skyrim, you know.
Pretty Princess.
Hey, go back in time and find that episode.
It's walk out this door. Congratulations, you won.
Yeah.
Yay! Great. Pretty Princess.
You know what? I listen to a lot of old school radio, and I swear to God.
Like old school
games around? No. So I listen to Groucho Marx and You Bet Your Life. I swear to God that when they've lost all their money, more or less the final question to get an extra $100 is walk out that door. Because they're not going to let anybody go. But We have gone so far. But my point was, you know, roguelike games are much tougher than the average RPG game, like a Skyrim or Champions or that kind of thing, which is what I normally play compared to what you guys have been playing.
So to summarize, Larry's favorite roguelike game is actually You Bet Your Life.
Russian roulette, anybody?
Which essentially it is, with a duck. Well, chicken, sorry.
One other thing I want to bring up is because we did talk about roguelike and then roguelite. If you actually include that, I just want to bring up what I would definitely say is would be Diablo 2, because when you start expanding the genre without getting too far. Yeah. Might as well be. But that's pretty much the definition of roguelite. That is what I am specifying. Hardcore mode, which I did play for a while, and it is, like Tom said, it's just crushing. Crushing when the character dies. It's like, and especially at this time, because this is online, all of a sudden, bam, leg, and it's like, oh shit, no.
Yeah.
It is the worst. It is.
You know, we did discuss the whole idea of subterranean.
Oh, I don't even remember how far, because I never played hardcore mode on Diablo 3, but Diablo 2, I don't even remember. I think I got, the farthest was maybe 50s, 60s or something.
I got to Act 3. And then some flame... Could you save the game? Killed me. And I was so mad.
The fetish dudes. Yes. Yeah, you heard me. Fetish. So, all right, I'm passing it to Ben.
No, because I already got it, and they took it away from me.
Or whoever.
Or silliness. All right. Tom.
All right, so... So those of you who know me know I am obsessed with an old school game called Telengard. So this is... Now, this is a roguelike...
I want to mention this box for people that can't see, because you know the majority of our people are listening on iTunes or whatever.
You aren't going to see this.
The box looks like a classic RPG box, not like a video game box.
No, not at all. Because this was made by a company called Avalon Hill, and Avalon Hill produced bookcase games, war simulation games. They were board games and card games that were meant for the war gamer, not for the computer gamer. So their games, when they started getting into computer games, like Telengard, they had that feel of still of the old war gaming things. So, but Telengard is the first dungeon crawler. This actually predates Rogue by about 2 years.
Yeah.
This
78,
correct. Came out for the PET in 78. Now, the guy was doing some development before that on the deck systems, but... Avalon Hill found out what he was doing and released it on the PET in 78. So it's about 2 years pre-Rogue, but it is a roguelike game from the standpoint is random dungeon generation, using ASCII graphics to do the game. It is really
cool. It did have the advantage of Commodore's beautiful...
Built-in character set, which is... That's a really good point, actually. Commodore had a character set built in, so they were actually able to make dungeons look a little bit nicer than a lot of the other games because they had these block characters they could use. So when it generates a dungeon, the walls actually look a little bit better. That being said, though, the characters are still the at symbol, X's, hashtags. You know, so here you run into a level 4 demon is a pound sign.
That's a pound sign.
Oh, and I died already. Look, I didn't even get a chance touch the effing keyboard. That's roguelike. So
sounds like
they stole Queen lyrics there.
What?
Yeah, another Plenty Adventure by Sidust.
Yeah, not Somebody Adventure.
Yeah, not Somebody. I didn't even touch the damn keyboard. So, but again, it was really a solid game for its time.
And I'm going to go with what I've always said. Sword of Fargoal is possibly the best. The remake of it is possibly the best.
Now you're talking the remake. So the remake. Originally came out on?
Commodore 64. Yeah. I believe that's true.
Yeah, it is. Commodore 64.
Somebody's going to comment. No, it was for the Apple IIe or something. But no, it was a great game. It was a great game in its original incarnation. But the sequel, it wasn't really a sequel. It was a remake. It's actually a reboot.
And it looks so fun to listen to.
The reboot was made actually by the original developer as well.
Yeah.
And it is not only beautiful, it is beautiful to look at, but it still keeps that old school look, but it's got kind of a psychedelic background to it.
Describe yourself so well.
Damn it, you stole the joke from me, drunk Larry.
Wow.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
Okay. So now wait.
And
so
psychedelic.
And psychedelic.
All right, so let's talk about one thing we haven't talked about with roguelike games. Now, there is a debate in the rogue community if the game uses graphics, real graphics.
This is a 90s debate. An 80s, 90s debate.
I think it's
But it's something that's still valid today because they're always like sitting there trying to say, no, this isn't roguelike. This isn't roguelike.
That's got graphics. Even though it's text-based-ish, that's a graphic on a monitor.
No, that is a graphic. No, so here's Rogue by Mastertronic. And this one, again, actually is fully graphic. They actually put a full graphic set to this one.
And this was controversial for the roguelike community.
Right.
This kind of thing was very controversial.
This is all graphic. And, there is no text-based.
And unfortunately, that's kind of the thing that a lot of the people making this argument now about roguelite are making. They're making the mistake that graphics or something has to do with the soul of the game. And I'm getting ready to wrap up. So if anybody had anything really important to say, say it now. But anyway, my final thing is that a roguelike is a roguelike in soul and presentation. It isn't about graphics. It isn't about any specific one variable of the game. It's really about the feel of the game. And I think that almost any design could become a roguelike if you did it the correct way. There might be something that proves me wrong. But in reality, Rogue is something that's in your soul.
Like Rogue Squadron?
Yes, just like Rogue Squadron. Hey, thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. For God's sake, Larry!
Also,
you can check us out at our website at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Oh, for Christ's sake.
I wanted to remind there, two Facebook challenges this week. One, our beer challenge. Try it and let us know on Facebook. And our second one, I don't remember.
Oh, Christ, Larry!
What?
Scavenger hunt!
You're kidding me!
Check us out on Twitter at Guys Games Beer. And do you have comments or suggestions? Oh, God, I'm sure you have suggestions. Check out...
But that being said... Us shrinking down into small, and would we be in our suit still? No, that's not a suggestion that counts
anymore.
That's
a sex gesture,
and we're not doing the foot thing anymore. Or the roller coaster.
No.
What a roller coaster. That's a big question to ask.
Where do you people come from? Anyway, feel free to email us, drunkguy@guysgamesandbeer.net. Thanks for watching.
Okay, that one's cold.
Soul Tone.
And it's still going.
What did they
play? Technically, it's randomized.